Here is our TSN hockey analyst. One of our favorites, our good buddy Craig Button. What do you make of those comments from Mark Scheifele, Craig?
Well, I was pretty clear yesterday on That's Hockey what I thought of Mark Scheifele's comments. And you know what? I believed in Santa Claus one time, and just as I believed in Santa Claus doesn't mean it's true. So I don't really give a, I don't really care what Mark Scheifele believes. And guess what? The Winnipeg Jets are my 37th favorite NHL team. And you might say 37th? Yeah, that's after the Seattle Kraken, after the Kansas City Scouts, after the Quebec Nordiques, after the California Golden Seals. So he's right. I hate the Winnipeg Jets. I hate.
I like
them.
I like them. That commitment
and
to
so
the
hatred. Where, that's where they sit on my left. Listen. The bottom line is, Mark Scheifele, not only were his actions the one that got him on the sidelines, he let down his team with his actions. And he wants to go blame. His comment was the Department of Player Safety shut him down. That was the comment. No, Mark, you shut yourself down. You're the one that shut yourself down. Nobody else. The Department of Player Safety, they enforce the rules.
Well, we mentioned Nazem Kadri for the first time in about a week and a half or 2 weeks earlier today, because someone sent us a tweet saying that he's on the verge of three times over the course of 4 years being suspended while his team might be out. While his teammates are going through the handshake line, he is going to be in a suit watching. I can't imagine that's ever happened in the history of the game. History of sports, where a player is suspended three times over the course of 4 years and his team is out. And I'm not, obviously it's not just because he's out, but how much of a hit do you think this has played in the outcome of the series so far? How much of a benefit has it been for Vegas that Kadri has not been in the lineup?
Well, when you lose a quality player and, you put another player in that spot, you put another player in the jersey, you don't replace Nazem Kadri, just like you don't replace Mark Scheifele. And Brian, any athlete will tell you, Jamie and Jeff will tell you, the one thing a player does not want to be labeled as is unreliable. And that's what Nazem Kadri has become, unreliable. That might be the worst indictment an athlete can have. But, and I said this, fool me once, okay. Well, now fooled me twice. I'm telling you what, after this third one, he ain't fooling me ever again.
Well, that's it, man. Imagine he does it again.
I'm not taking a chance, Brian. I'm not taking a chance. That's what I'm saying. Like, Red Auerbach, the great basketball architect of the Boston Celtics, said this many years ago. He was asked about taking a chance on a player and tried to change him. And so he said, he prefaced it. He goes, okay. He goes, here's what I understand to be true. 1 in 100 change. Two things. Number one, I'm not in the business of change, and I don't like those odds.
Yeah.
Greg, you have an appreciation for what happened last night on Long Island. I mean, just with Lou and bringing in Trotz and everything the Islanders are about, just how much appreciation do you have for just the way they do their business and, all about the team and advancing in 2 years in a row in the conference final and that whole program?
Well, a massive appreciation, Jeff. And you and Jamie played against the New Jersey Devils, and you played against those teams that Lou built. And they were built, corner to corner and everywhere in between. And they played as a team. And, that's the way that Lou operates. That's the way Barry operates. And I just read a quote where Jordan Eberle said, it doesn't matter if you're on the first line or the fourth line or wherever you play in the lineup, Barry makes you feel important. And you need all your players to contribute. You need all your players to feel that their contributions are significant. And I think that's exactly what Lou does, and I think that's exactly what Barry does. I mean, Gar Snow, he managed a team, and we can look at what he acquired and put players in place, and certainly that's there and really good. He deserves accolades for that. But until Lou and Barry got there, they hadn't won a playoff series since 1993. That's a long, long time to not have success. And they come in, they set the template, and not only the expectations are very clear, and how they operate and what the players can expect. And then the results speak for themselves. And I think Lou and Barry, when you asked me that question, I mean, it's been a long time of admiration And if you're not impressed by what they do, I don't know what will impress you in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible to see. We're chatting with Craig Button, and obviously people in Toronto, of course, are going to look at Lou and wonder, you know, what if? What would have been different today if Lamoriello stuck around as the GM?
Well, sure, let's ask Craig, what would be different?
Okay. Go ahead, Craig. Do you have any answers for that?
I have two answers. I'll tell you what. They wouldn't have Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews wouldn't have the contracts they had. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. And I can guarantee you he wouldn't have. And all you got to do is go back and look at Lou's record.
So what would they look like, Craig, if you say that?
They'd look like the play. I think they would have been they would have been shorter term. And then gone from there. So it wouldn't have been $11 million. It would have been almost $12 million on a 5-year deal for Matthews, which he bought 1 year of free agency. And it wouldn't be almost $11 million for Mitch Marner. Just go look at his record. Go look at what he did. Just Bobby Hull. He walked away from Bobby Hull League. Scott Niedermeyer had to hold out. Billy Guerin had contract issues. Like he didn't do it. And yeah. I can say with 100% certainty, never would have happened.
It would just, and Peter, I heard Peter Holland on the lunch today saying that was one thing that was well known about Lou is he was a great negotiator. Like, and it, and I think a lot of the agents know that too. Like he has that reputation going in. It's like, you know what? I'll be fair, but you're not going to mess with me. It's kind of like that aura around him. So I believe those guys would have good contracts. It might just be different. It might look different to your point, Craig.
Well, I mean, you see the deal that Braden Point signed. You saw the deal that Mikko Rantanen signed. You can look at different Sebastian Aho. You can look at where deals could have been done. But there's no way. There's no way. I know Lou too well, and I've watched it. And the other thing too, it's not just about negotiating. It's also about saying I'm not doing it. Scott Niedermeyer sat out. And Lou said, that's fine, we're about the team. But back to Jeff's question about how impressed are you with Lou. It's the way Lou operates, and everybody knows. It's Kyle Palmieri, or it wasn't, I don't know if it was Jordan Eberle, I forget. Said, yeah, the deal is you got to shave. You got to shave during the regular season. Like, I mean, you might not like it, but everybody knows exactly how it's going to be. And the other thing about Lou and that makes him a superb, superb executive and leader is that, he doesn't predetermine anything. He doesn't get himself caught in, what if? Like, well, what about an offer sheet? Lou says, that's fine. I'm not gonna do something out of fear of an offer sheet. If there's an offer sheet that comes, I'll deal with it. And the other thing, Lou doesn't say, I'll match it. Like, he'll just say, I'll deal with it if it comes. He doesn't predetermine. Like, you don't have to get into these things, Bottom line is, when I say zero doubt, I have zero doubt those two guys would have those contracts. And yeah. I think William Nylander would have sat over in Sweden for the whole year, too.
I was just about to bring that up. I think it would have started the year before. And honestly, I'm not sure Willie ever would have gone through it the way he did. Because I think he'd know, if I'm going over there, I'm not coming back. And
yep. Right.
I think that's what would have happened. He may have still got, six and a half. Maybe get 6-9, maybe, but I don't believe with Lou Lamoriello, Nylander would have the conviction to say, I'm going to call your bluff, and I'll call you 5 minutes before the deadline or whatever, because I don't think Lou would have accepted that, And I think you're right. I think every Leaf fan knows that and understands it too. Like, it would have been a very different operation with those contracts. And they came up this summer, he left. And yeah. Now they're dealing with what they're dealing with. They're still great players, still have the talent here, but the contracts, that's really what it comes down to in a lot of ways. You got to have talent clearly, but you got to have the right number. You got to be cap compliant so you can build
right.
All the way down the lineup. And they missed out.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw this too, Dougie Hamilton's comments. I didn't love those either. These comments are, it's interesting. Guys are really pissed at the end of the season. I get it, but I don't know if you saw
what about Tampa being $18 million
over the cap. Yeah, he said,
Doug,
we got beat by a team that was $18 million over the cap. Like, they did the same thing everyone else would. I think there were other teams that were over the cap technically heading into the playoffs. Like, that's the rules. Like, I to me, excuses are for losers. That bothers me. Like, you know, if they beat, if Carolina ends up beating Tampa, Dougie Hamilton doesn't do his media the next day and like, we beat a team that, you know, that was $18 million over the cap. Like, that's not the reason that you lost. Is Tampa's that deep? Like, they're a good team. With Kucherov, without Kucherov, they're still a great team.
They are. Well,
Jamie, like I mean you look at it and you try to consider, I mean, what player is going to and team is gonna say, yeah, I'm gonna undergo surgery on a hip, a pretty serious surgical procedure. I'm gonna go under surgical procedure. And if you go look at the at these procedures that have occurred in the NHL, the timeline is all the same. And then it's all there in the CBA to be dealt with, and it has been dealt with. And, you know, and a team's going to say, oh, yeah, we're going to go without our best player, a top player in the league, the reigning MVP, yeah, to just try to get out of the cap. Okay, if that's what you believe, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you to write a letter to Santa Claus, and maybe he'll bring you some gifts, too.
Yeah, it's a loser's...
Race.
Well,
that's
and
what
there's
it
no,
is. Like,
there's,
you got
you
beat
know,
by a better team.
But there's no guarantee that Kucherov would be that dynamite. What if he missed 5 months and struggled out of the gate?
Well, you know, is Carolina up against the cap?
Well, I think they are. I'd have to look. But
I'm not sure they're – I don't know if – I know they historically have not been. Like, why don't you talk to your owner about going over the cap? Like, find a way to make that work. Why can't? Why,
well,
like,
I mean,
you know,
the teams are over the cap. I mean, if you're a financially strong team, teams have used long-term injury reserve replacement to go over the cap. The Toronto Maple Leafs did it for the last 4 years, you know, or 3 years. I mean, they were acquiring players. You know, you look at the Hossa trade to Arizona with Chicago. I mean, teams have been doing it. So. Whether you're over $16 million or you're $8 million over whatever, teams have used that to not only be cap compliant at different points in time or of course of the season, but also to acquire players. The Toronto Maple Leafs, if Freddie Anderson doesn't go on long-term injury reserve, if they acquire Riley Nash, who's already on long-term, they can't make other moves. They can't make a move for Nick Foligno. They can't do it. So
right.
I mean, it's one of the areas of the CBA. It's an unintended consequence. It wasn't intended to be used this way, but teams find ways to do it. And you know, the CBA directly and specifically deals with LTIR with respect to the NHL evaluating it, getting the doctor's reports and everything. So when people talk about circumvention and everything, all you got to do is read the CBA and know there was no circumvention and know that the CBA is, it deals with it. And what the problem is that these narratives start and the narratives start and continue by people that are uninformed, Dougie Hamilton included.
With Craig Button, our TSN director of scouting. So we have not had you on since the draft lottery a week ago. And Buffalo, they hold on to that number one pick. Seattle moves up to number two. Sure seems like Owen Power is a lock for number one based on his season, based on what guys like yourself have told us about him and what we just saw at the World Championships. But beyond that, you know, can you inform our audience who else should we be thinking of? Because this is a really strange year. In terms of just being informed, myself included, I just have not been able to track it the way I have in years past because of the pandemic and everything that's been going on.
Well, I mean, there's some really good defensemen. Brant Clark, who is from Ottawa. I mean, Simon Edvinson, a real elite skating defenseman. Luke Hughes, the youngest brother of Quinn and Jack. So you got some really good defensemen. Matt Beniers, who's an excellent two-way centerman, really, really good centerman. I mean, I'll be shocked if he's not gone in the first three or four picks, somewhere in there, maybe even two. You know, there's a goaltender, Jesper Wallstedt, who's played really well in the SHL. And, you know, I get asked this question, and Jamie, you can weigh in here, but I guess, why would you take a goaltender? Well,
right.
If you're taking a goaltender at six or seven, I can tell you this about Jesper Wallstedt. any other player, in my view, that's around that area, whether he's a forward or a defenseman, Jesper Wallstedt is on the same timeline to play in the NHL as a defenseman or forward you may take there, in my view. I think Jesper Wallstedt is very close to being able to play in the NHL. When I say close, I'm talking 2 years. I'm not talking next year. But the defenseman or forward you consider at that point, I think you're in the same boat. So you take Jesper Wallstedt. You know, there's some really good skilled players. And, you know, everybody wants skill. Everybody wants goal scoring and offensive producing players and defensemen that can jump into the attack and whatnot. And I think there's a lot of really good players in this draft. And I think as time goes on and we see, you know, the World Junior and we go down 2 and 3 years into the future, you're going to see a lot of these good young players. But, you know, at the top end of it, I think it's pretty much defined with respect to the group of what I would call the 8 to 10 players that are going to go in the first 10 to 12 picks. And after that, I think it comes down to preference. Do you want this right winger that scores? Do you want this centerman? Do you want this left winger? You know, there's not as many defensemen past the first four. I mean, there's some that certainly come into that next group, maybe 15 on, but I think it's, I think you'll see two goaltenders drafted in the first round this year, which hasn't happened since 2012 when Vasilevsky and Malcolm Subban went. So that's Wallstedt and that's Sebastian Kosa, who plays up in Edmonton. Two really good goaltenders who look like number one for sure goaltenders in the NHL.
Craig, I'll let you have a mic drop before we let you go here. Where did you have Braden Point ranked in that draft?
Okay, I'll tell you what, Jeff, too low, but I had him, I think I had him rated 16 or 17, but it was still too low.
Not wow. bad. That's weight, wow. Yeah. I mean, I don't remember who 16 was.
We will fact check that, by the way.
Yeah, we'll fact check that. That's what the O-Dog's doing
today. As you should. Yeah. I also had Kucherov rated somewhere in that area, too, and it was too low for him as well. So, you know, even though I had him there, I still had him too low.
Well, Tampa was clearly watching. Like, if this guy drops to the third and the other guy drops to the second, we can maybe go back-to-back.
The classic line, Hazy, be at the draft. We wanted to get you in the second, but we just didn't, and we loved that you were around in the third.
Yeah, it's like, thank you. Is that pumping
my
tires?
Give me a minute. Give me a minute here with Braden Point. So I've watched Braden grow up here in Calgary. I've watched him play since he was 12, 10, 11, 12 years old, just because friends of my daughters, they were playing, and I'd say, you know, and as they move on, right? Steve Yzerman was going into Moose Jaw with Al Murray, his director of scouting, now assistant GM in Tampa Bay. Morgan Riley was coming back that year. Well, Braden Point had been their first-round pick in the Bantam draft, and he can't play in the Western Hockey League. You can play 5 games after that, but you got to wait till your midget season is over. Well, Braden's midget season had ended, and now he shows up in Moose Jaw, and Steve and Al are in there watching Morgan Riley while Braden's playing. And so Steve asks Al, he goes, who's this guy? And Al goes, he's 2 years down the road. He don't worry about him. Steve asks him again. He goes, well, who's that? That guy's a pretty good player. And anyway, long story short, as they went into the draft that year, Al said, he told me this after the fact, he goes, I honestly believe if we didn't get Braden Point, Steve would have let me go. He goes, but Steve loved him from the first time he saw him as just a baby-faced kid coming out of midget hockey.
Well, wow. Worked out pretty well. Pretty good scouting
yes.
trip, I would
yeah,
say.
Exactly.
I think that one was using your time wisely back in the day. Good stuff, buddy. We always appreciate you taking time, Craig. We'll do it again down the road.
Okay, you guys have a great day.
There's Craig Butner, TSN Hockey Analyst, Director of Scouting here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.